Chapter 33. The Lady Flamborough slipped smoothly into the tiny harbor of Punta del Este just minutes before the sun fell over the western interior of the mainland. A soft breeze drifted in from the south that barely fluttered the Union Jack on her stern. She was a beautiful cruise ship, trim and handsomely designed, with a streamlined superstructure. She broke with the traditional British black hull and more common white on her upper works. She was painted entirely in a soft slate blue, with a sharply raked funnel banded in royal purple and burgundy. One of the new breed of sleek, small cruise ships, the Lady Flamborough looked more like a posh motor yacht. Her trim 101-meter-long hull contained the most sumptuous luxuries afloat. With only 50 large suites, she carried just 100 passengers, who were catered to by an equal number of crew members. On this voyage, however, from her home port in San Juan, Puerto Rico, she sailed without passengers.
2 degrees port, said the dark-skinned pilot.
2 degrees port, acknowledged the helmsman. The pilot stood in loose khaki shirt and shorts and kept a calculating eye on the finger of land that sheltered the bay until it slipped behind the Lady Flamborough's stern.
Begin coming around to starboard and hold steady at 080.
The helmsman dutifully repeated the command, and the ship very slowly swung on its new course. The harbor was crowded with yachts and other cruise ships, flying flocks of colorful pointed and swallowtail pennants. Some vessels were chartered as floating hotels for the economic conference. Others were filled with their usual complement of vacationing passengers. Half a kilometer from the mooring site, the pilot ordered the engines on dead stop. The luxurious ship slipped through the calm water on her momentum, eating up the distance and gradually easing to a halt. Satisfied, the pilot spoke into a portable transmitter.
"We're in position. Slow aft and drop the hook."
The order was relayed to the bow, and the anchor paid out as the ship very slightly moved astern. When the flukes dug into the harbor silt, the slack was taken up, and the order was given to ring the engines to off. Captain Oliver Collins, a slim man standing straight as a plumb line in an impeccably tailored white uniform, nodded at the pilot in respect and offered his hand.
"Neatly done, as always, Mr. Campos."
Captain Collins had known the pilot for almost 20 years, yet he never referred to anyone, even his closest friends, by his Christian name.
"If her length stretched another 30 meters, I couldn't squeeze her in."
Harry Campos smiled, revealing an array of tobacco-stained teeth. His accent was more Irish than Spanish.
"Sorry we can't slip her into a berth, Captain, but I was told to moor you in the harbor."
"For security reasons, I should imagine," said Collins.
Campos lit the stub of a cigar.
"The bigwig meetings have the whole island turned upside down. You'd think there was a sniper behind every palm, the way security police are acting."
Collins stared through the bridge windows at the popular playground of South America.
"I'll not complain. This ship will be hosting the presidents of Mexico and Egypt during the conference."
"That a fact," muttered Campos. "No wonder they wanted to keep your vessel offshore."
"May I offer you a drink in my cabin, or better yet, considering the hour, would you do the honor of dining with me?"
Campos shook his head.
"My thanks for the invite, Captain." He paused and motioned at the mass of ships filling the harbor. "But she's a busy time. Maybe a rain check for your next layover."
Campos filled out his document for payment and handed it to Captain Collins, who signed. Campos looked through the aft bridge windows at the immaculate decks of the ship.
"One of these days I'll take a holiday and sail with you as a passenger."
"Let me know," said Collins. "I'll see the company covers all your expenses."
"A mighty kind offer. If I tell my wife, she'll never let up till I take advantage of it."
"A pleasure, Mr. Campos. Any time you say the word."
The pilot boat came alongside, and Campos jumped onto the deck from the boarding ladder. He gave a final wave as the boat pulled away and headed out to sea to pilot the next incoming vessel.
"Most enjoyable voyage I ever sailed."
This from Collins's first officer, Michael Finney.
"A full crew and no passengers. For 6 days I thought I'd died and gone to heaven."
Company orders required ship's officers to spend almost as much time entertaining the passengers as sailing the ship, a duty Finney hated with a passion. A fine seaman, he stayed away from the main dining salon as much as possible, preferring to eat with his fellow officers or making constant inspections of the ship. Finney didn't exactly look the part of a party mixer. He was big, with a barrel chest that fought to explode from the tight confines of his uniform.
"I don't imagine you miss the joy of mingling and small talk," said Collins sarcastically. Finney made a disagreeable face. "Wouldn't be so bad if they didn't ask the same stupid questions all the time."
"Courtesy and respect when dealing with passengers, Mr. Finney," Collins admonished. "It goes with the waters. Mind your manners in the next few days. We'll be entertaining some rather important foreign leaders and statesmen."
Finney did not reply. He gazed at the modern high-rise buildings towering over the beachside chalets. "Every time I see the old town," he said wistfully, "they've added another hotel."
"Yes, you're from Uruguay."
"Born just west in Montevideo. My father was a sales rep for a Belfast machinery company."
"You must enjoy coming home," said Collins.
"Not really. I signed aboard a Panamanian ore carrier when I was 16. Mom and Dad are gone. Nobody left I grew up with." He paused and pointed through the bridge window at an approaching boat. "Here come the bloody customs and immigration inspectors."
"Since we have no passengers and the crew won't be going ashore," said Collins, "the vessel should be cleared with a rubber stamp."
"The health inspectors are the worst nuisance."
"Notify the purser, Mr. Finney, then show them to my cabin."
"Begging your pardon, sir, but isn't that a bit much? I mean, greeting mere customs inspectors in the captain's cabin."
"Perhaps, but I want everything to run smoothly with the bureaucracy while we're in harbor. You never know when we might require a favor."
"Aye, sir." It was dusk as the customs and immigration officials brought their boat alongside the Lady Flamborough and mounted the boarding ladder. The ship's lights suddenly blazed on and illuminated her upper decks and superstructure. Moored amid the lights of the city and the other cruise ships, she sparkled like a diamond in a jewelry box. The Uruguayan officials, led by Finney, approached the open doorway to the captain's cabin. Collins studied the five men trailing his first officer. He was a man who missed very little, and he quickly noticed something odd about one of them. One man had on a wide-brimmed straw hat pulled low over his eyes and was wearing a jumpsuit, while the rest were dressed properly enough in the casual uniforms worn by most officials throughout the Caribbean islands. The fellow who stood out walked without looking up, keeping his eyes on the feet of the man in front of him. When they reached the doorway, Finney politely stood aside and allowed them to enter first. Collins stepped forward.
"Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome aboard the Lady Flamborough. I'm Captain Oliver Collins."
The visiting officials stood strangely silent, and Collins and Finney exchanged curious glances. Then the man in the jumpsuit stepped forward and slowly peeled it off, revealing a white uniform with gold braid that was an exact copy of the one Collins wore. Next, he removed the straw hat and replaced it with a cap that matched the uniform. The normally unperturbed Collins was momentarily caught off balance. He felt as though he was staring into a mirror. The stranger could easily have passed for a twin brother. "Who are you?" Collins demanded. "What's going on here?"
"No name is necessary," said Suleiman Aziz Amar with a disarming smile. "I am taking command of your ship."